We've got a special guest this morning as a part of the College of Business here at Minnesota State, holding a fireside chat this afternoon with Jay DeBurton, who is the president and CEO of CHS. It's a global agricultural company owned by farmers and ranchers across the United States. And he'll be here today from 3:30 to 5 p.m. It will be in the Ostrander Auditorium located here on campus in the Centennial Student Union, and you are welcome to attend. So this will give a little preview of what he's all about, what he's talking about. It's a part of the Richard Schmitz Food Entrepreneurship Series, and it is open to the public. And I want to welcome our guest this morning. Welcome, Jay. We're glad to have you on campus. And
happy to be here.
I was telling him you're kind of a bigwig because you were appointed the president and CEO of CHS in 2017, and after 33 years in leadership roles, it says that you have been in agribusiness for a long time, but you also were appointed to the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis Board of Directors, and your term just started. So I said, he's kind of a big deal.
I don't know if that's quite accurate, a big deal, but yes, I am honored to be part of the Board of Directors of the Federal Reserve Bank here in the 9th District, as well as a 40-year career at a very important agricultural company called CHS.
And that's the first thing I said, what does CHS stand for? Because I tried to find it and I wasn't sure. And once you said it, I knew what it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so CHS is an agribusiness that, you know, when you think about what we do as a company at CHS, we sell inputs into planting an acre of ground, and then we sell inputs and services as that acre of ground matures. And at the end of the day, we come back and buy the grain off that acre of ground. We process some of that grain ourselves. We process some of it in partnership with others. And the rest we ship to customers around the world. That's the business model of CHS in a sentence or two. And we've got lots of derivatives that come off of that, but essentially what we are about as a company is an acre of ground and maximizing the production and then taking that production and helping feed people around the world.
But it was known as Central Harvest States, is that right?
No, two companies merged back in 1998 by the name of Senex and Harvest States. And CHS is the successor company.
Okay, but just known as CHS. Mm-hmm. And now a part of this lectureship is to introduce students to show all the different careers in agribusiness. And of course, Minnesota State has not traditionally been thought of as an agricultural college, but is building that as being more a part of what we do here, because we are part of the green seam, which I'm sure you've heard of. We've got the all the agriculture surrounding us and that sort of thing. So what is it that now you are not a farm kid? I immediately thought, well, he's got to be a farm kid. He's in agribusiness. He's been doing it this long. And you said no. So talk about how does someone get into it maybe that doesn't have that background?
Well, I think a couple of things. Yes, I didn't actually grow up on a farm, but nor do we, you know, require that to work at an agriculture company. And the aspect, I think, about agriculture and agricultural companies like CHS is many times people will associate working in agriculture with sitting in the cab of a combine or perhaps working with the wrong end of a cow.
Milking the cow. I did that for years.
and we're very thankful that there are people that do both of those things, and they do it very, very well, and we're very necessary people in what we do. But there's just so much more. You know, if you come out with an accounting degree from a fine university like Minnesota State and work at a company called CHS, you're in agriculture.
Sure.
Now, that applies to accounting and finance and technology and communications and human resources. So the point that we stress to people that are thinking about careers and thinking about what's next after they leave their point of higher education is don't think of agriculture in just one of two ways, combines or
cows
or animals. It for sure includes that, and we don't shy away from it one bit. But we also know that people come out with, you know, terrific degrees and want to work at a company in an industry that's bigger than they are, and agriculture can fit that.
And so what did you do when you started? You said you've been in the business for some 40 years, mm-hmm. and now you're the head of it all. So let's hear about your path.
So I began in 1984, and I was an intern, and agriculture was in really tough shape during that time, and that was not a pleasant time to be in agriculture, as land values and many other things were kind of getting reset during those
the farm crisis, essentially.
Yes,
it was
exactly.
terrible. I remember.
Exactly. It was just a very difficult time, and at the same time, I needed work. And so I got a job, and I wish it was a much more of an elegant kind of story than that, but I needed work. They offered me a job. What they were doing was legal and so on and so forth. So I did, you know, I did it. I think today's workforce, and I think it's something that today's workforce should be very proud of. They, you know, very much are looking at what is a company about? What drives them? What drives the people that work there? Frankly, not the kinds of things I started with when I started working there. I didn't. And so I'm envious and admire people joining the workforce today that are asking those questions and want to make sure that they are joining something that has, I'll call it, a noble purpose. And fortunately, a company like CHS and others that are in that space, you know, can answer that, can answer it well, and don't have to make it up. Don't have to make it up. And so if you want to be about something that's bigger than you are and want to have a chance at working on important things that impact the world, agriculture is just there for you. Food and agriculture is so fundamental around the world. And frankly, many times people here at Minnesota State or Southwest Minnesota or Minnesota in general or the Midwest in a larger sense think about food in a different way than many people around the world do. Because you could go probably about 4 miles away from this radio station we're sitting in here right now in September, and you would see more food being grown than you can imagine.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Than
yeah.
you can imagine. That's not the way it is in many parts of the world. It's not the way it is. And it's a little bit hard for sometimes us to get our heads around that because we only know this way.
Sure.
But when you do travel the world and see the dependence and the risk and the food conditions, you just have a completely different appreciation for what agriculture in the United States does.
When you started years ago, it probably was more about cows and combines. We didn't have all the technology we have, and now there's so much technology. We can do things from afar, et cetera. Talk a little bit about that venture and how things have changed through the years and how we, like you mentioned, look at things essentially.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. The tech and anybody listening to your program that, you know, has some experience with equipment on farms today, they just know that technology is in just a completely different place than it was, you know, when I began my career. I know that. And it's led to, you know, great advances in precision farming, utilizing inputs into the land that are much more carefully measured and much more optimally used than perhaps they were at one point. And that goes to things like then, you know, safer groundwater, runoff issues that are much better conditioned. So agriculture has made just huge advances in that area. But that's only kind of one part of the technology. You know, you just think about drone technology and what that's been able to do for kind of field mapping and crop conditions and doing so many more things that you just couldn't do with the same same accuracy that you can do today. We were talking earlier about, you know, technology in animal production and how that is so much more advanced and controlled also to reduce disease and reduce other impacts that people that raise animals have to deal with. That's why people that are, you know, really jazzed about technology, agriculture is just looking for you because the advances in agriculture using technology just happen every single day. Technology has found agriculture. It has found it. And now people are saying, how do I use it to improve my production, improve my efficiency, improve my sustainability? and it's just ripe.
I'm glad you mentioned sustainability and the environment, because that has always been a concern, is some of the issues with agricultural drainage and things like that. I've got a show that's called Every Day is Earth Day, where we talk about the impacts of some things like that. And it sounds like there are improvements all the time, that agriculture is becoming more responsible. Because in the past, it used to be, I mean, on my own farm back home, you know, back then you didn't think about it. If the manure ran into the lake or something, you just didn't. And that's changed a lot.
It has changed a lot. I think, you know, the way I guess I would describe it, and we'll talk a little bit about it, you know, I think this afternoon, we actually kind of know we know the answer to the riddle. And the answer to the riddle is more food with less water and less fertilizer. Yes. And less land. That's the answer to the riddle. So now the question is, what's the riddle? And that's what we have to figure out. How do we do that? How do we grow more food with less fertilizer, less water, on likely less land as communities Sure. continue to sprawl out? Because the world still is looking to eat better. And while there are population issues in many of the countries that we can talk about, the fact of the matter is diets are still improving. Mm-hmm. And as they improve, they want more protein. They want protein that they haven't been able to afford before or get before. And it's going to be agriculture that helps provide that to them. So our need to be able to feed a lot more people going forward is going to be on us all. And so therefore, it's, you know, that type of work of producing more, but doing it with an increased focus on sustainability, that's what we're going to have. We have to do both. We have to do both. We can't choose one or the other. We have to do them both.
How far of a reach does CHS have? I mean, are you all over the world? Do you reach across waters, oceans, and train people elsewhere? Or just talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So CHS is a cooperative. So so we're owned by members and producers across largely the United States. But as I mentioned in the business model, where we sell inputs into production, then buy the grain off that production, process some of it ourselves, some in partnership with others, the rest we ship to customers around the world. So that last step, ship to customers around the world, okay, means that we are a global company. So we have customers in 60 countries across the world, have offices across the world to develop those markets on behalf of the U.S. farmer that owns us. And then we also have, presence in areas like Brazil and Argentina, Eastern Europe, because those are important crop production areas that as business is done in the food sector, we have to have a presence in all of those areas to be a 12-month supplier to everybody around the world, and can handle crop conditions that get uneven in terms of parts of the world having drought and some parts not. And you need a presence everywhere to be that type of a supplier.
How has the business changed over the years? I mean, what is actually the state of farming right now, or agriculture in general? How would you describe that?
So I think it's coming off two really strong years for most crop producers.
Despite the drought.
Yeah, but despite the drought. They came through it in good shape.
Okay.
Now, we're in agriculture, and nobody kind of uses, you know, it was great. That's not usually the words that come off the tongue.
Right.
But I would say the last 2 years were good years. I think this year, of course, is its own. We'll see. We haven't even gone to the fields yet to see. But commodity prices are down from where they had been. Now, so are some input prices. So that's rebalanced. But things like land cost and land rents are still high. Mm-hmm. So it just appears this year won't be the kinds of years that we just experienced. But I also, I do think that agriculture is in a really good window. I think, you know, we're driven by strong fundamental demand for the products that we do. You're driven by the ability for the U.S. farmer to compete with anyone around the world, no problem competing. You put those things together, it is, I think, paints a really, really good picture. Not an easy one. Agriculture doesn't use words like easy. That's not how we work. The people that are drawn to it are kind of drawn to it because they just have a way of grit and figuring it out
and grind it out, and they're kind of built that way, you know, like a hockey player, so to speak. I mean, you're just kind of built to figure it out, and you kind of you get jazzed by people saying sounds hard, and you say it's hard to you. This is what I do.
Okay. What can people expect if they come to hear you this afternoon when you do your presentation? What is your focus going to be?
Well, my focus really is going to be, I just think that people, whoever they, wherever they are on their journey, if they are just coming out of a four-year degree or thinking about what's next in their education programs, or people that are, you know, beyond that point, just so that they're considering agriculture, because I think agriculture and food has just such cool opportunities, particularly for a workforce that's looking for things that that we see that they are in terms of something bigger than them, and being part of something bigger. And when it comes to things like sustainability, want to be part of solving that. They want to be part of solving. They're not kind of put off by the challenge of it. They want to be part of the challenge, and look at, you know, pressure as a privilege, so to speak. I want to be part of that. And I want to solve it, and that's going to be my message. Is that door is open. We need that talent. We're looking for it. And whether you work for CHS or other really great agricultural companies, I think you're going to be looking for a great career.
You know, in high schools, in the past, agriculture programs used to be a lot stronger, I think, but there still is some out there. I was just curious, how important is that piece to have in our schools, like the high schools, et cetera, like whether it's FFA or 4-H and things? How much of a role do they play in some of these development of students?
Susan, you're exactly right. I mean, and we know what the answer is, right? I mean, the answer is you got to have a strong leader within the school.
Yep.
You can't do it without that. And unfortunately, if that person retires or leaves, it's difficult. At CHS, our CHS Foundation really targets funding for schools and organizations that develop future leaders in ag. So the foundation looks exactly to that space you're speaking of to contribute. Things like FFA, 4-H, other organizations that are really focused on it. But we, you know, we're a big supporter. I'm a big supporter of it because, you know, it first of all, people have fun doing it. They have fun doing it. And if you start with some fun, you just take it and run from there. And I just think it's such an important thing. And unfortunately, some schools, you know, have come backed away from mm-hmm. offering that many times because they lost the leader that they had that would do it. But, you know, all I can do is say we will help support that where we can financially. We also, though, got to have that local support.
See, we didn't have in Mankato for a long time the FFA program until we got a person down that came and started the program, and that person left, unfortunately. So it's tough.
It is. But, boy, if you have that person, say thank you every day.
Absolutely.
Say thank you every day because they are not easy to come by, and they certainly don't do it for the money. They do it because they love it. They know it's important.
You serve farmers and ranchers, and you talked about in the 80s with the farm crisis, you know, and I was a reporter back then and talked with a lot of depression and suicides and things like that because it was a really dark, dark time. Would you say over the 40 years that the grit of farm and ranch people has changed? Do you feel like they're still the same in terms of just plugging it out every day? Or do you think that there's more hopefulness? Or what are your thoughts?
Yeah,
Because the weather is always, being a farm girl, weather was always like the kind of the cloud hanging over you. Like, what is it going to be?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question, Susan. I think you start with an agriculture or with an industry that's made up of people that are humble by nature.
Yeah,
and also, you know, even when things are good, there's always a thought of, well, maybe it'll turn bad. And, you know, they kind of, it is an attribute that I think has allowed many farms to be in the family for generation after generation after generation, because they do have a bit of a conservative bent, but not in a way that they don't try to grow. But they also don't take risks they ought not to take. I think the, you know, the work kind of mindset is absolutely still there.
The work
now,
ethic.
Now, I have no doubt about it. Likely, you know, somebody's grandfather thinks that their son or daughter didn't work as hard as they did, and that just, you know, continues down. I think that's kind of a fact of life.
Sure.
But I would say this: it's still a hardworking industry that has fun and loves their lifestyle. Some days they probably don't. But
yeah.
But you know, that's some of that is life too. But I think they love their lifestyle.
We have been talking with the speaker for today's College of Business Fireside Chat, Jay D. Burton, who is the president and CEO of CHS, the global agricultural company owned by farmers and ranchers across the United States. He will be here on campus for this presentation at 3:30 to 5. It is in the Ostrander Auditorium. The public is welcome to attend. It's a part of the Centennial Student Union. And can they park in the lot just out the Centennial Student Union? Okay, so there's where you can go. And I encourage you to go to learn more about not only CHS, but just the encouragement that Jay has for our young people to get involved in agribusiness. Thank you so much for coming in. Any final words you'd like to share before I let you go?
No, I really enjoyed our time together, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great rest of your day, and thank you so much.